hand of God. Lord, just continue the anointing that flows out of him. And Lord, let that anointing be that of the Holy Spirit of God. And let the words that come off his lips be the words of God, the words of the Spirit. And let him not change one way or another, Lord, that it all be about you and lifting you up and giving you the praise,
that's
honor,
right,
and glory and the edification of the body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Give Lord a hand clap of praise. God is so good. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Okay. Where's the... There it is. The ointment. Okay. She's gonna touch you where it's at, okay? Father, right now in the name of Jesus,
yes, Lord,
we can do nothing. Yes. Nothing on our own, God. But Father, through you, God, we can do all things, Lord. I thank you, God, for touching my sister right now, Lord. Let her feel your power, let her feel your anointing, Lord. Let her know, God, that you're here in a very powerful way. Now, Father, I thank you, God, for touching her body, Lord, touching her back, Lord. Lord, bringing her relief, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in the name of Jesus, from top of her head to the soles of her feet. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, touch Barbara and Norma too, Father. Bless them, Lord. Let them feel your power and anointing. Lord, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. Raise her up, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Turn to the book of Colossians. I didn't say Galatians, Colossians. Sometimes we do get tongue-tied. There was a guy preaching on Samson. And about halfway through his sermon, he realized he'd been calling him Tarzan. It's not hard to get all mixed up sometimes. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. We're talking about planting seeds. And Brother Keith had no idea what I was going to be preaching on last week. I had no idea what he was going to be preaching on last week. It intertwined and intermixed so well. And it keeps right on mixing together. What he just said was so awesome. And now we're going to talk about something right along with what we're talking about this morning. Next week, we're going to finish up on that Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Now, I know that might seem like there was a whole lot off that one verse, and there was, but now the rest of the verses explain it. And so next week, please be here so you can hear the rest of that. It's the first time I've ever actually used that scripture as a base for a sermon. Used it many, many times as a supplement, but never as a base. And so, the church was blessed today. We got a chance to have a baptism here. And so the Lord blessed, not for us, another church. We shared with another church. And so God is just so awesome that we can do things like that. And I'm just excited about any time we get a chance to reach out in the community and help somebody, because God always, whenever you reach out, and again, like this morning, whatever size shovel you use, listen carefully, whatever size shovel you use to give to the Lord and to give to others, God uses a bigger shovel to give back. Amen? God gives a bigger shovel. Who would have thunk? Who would have thunk? Well, I'm on top of that. Church, when everybody else had run away and we're out there slaving on that roof, and Daniel get hit in the mouth with a shovel, that God would send a dentist over. I mean, it's amazing to me. I never seen the man. When he called the doctor, I didn't even know who he was. And so, again, God, our God's an awesome God. He'll take care of you. He'll look out for you. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. Let's all say it together. And whatsoever you do. Now, hold, stop. What's whatsoever? That's right. Whatsoever you do. Now, the problem is a lot of folks are doing nothing. If you're doing nothing, then nothing's coming back. Remember, in order to get back, you got to give in, right? So whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the, sorry, let's do it together again. Okay? I don't mean to stop anymore. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Now, let me read you a little different version. From whatever may be your task, work at it heartily from the soul as something done for the Lord and not for men. As for the Lord and not for man. I can sit back and I can think about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 things in the last 3 weeks that I did that actually, if I'd have had my rathers, I'd have been home and watching John Wayne on television. But you know, every John Wayne, did y'all know that now that every John Wayne movie that's out is a rerun? Did y'all know that? So if you miss it, I guarantee you'll get a chance to see it again. It'll come back out. Amen. But instead, I did some things to help some folks or did some things around it with other churches or whatever, and I did it as unto the Lord. And if you ever get feeling bad about working and doing something for somebody, just think about this. I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for God. Amen? When you do it for God, it makes a whole, changes your outlook. Now, we're going to talk about working on our outlook anyway, talking about outlook. How many use Outlook on their computer? Okay. Outlook, there's a mail program. I was just kidding about that Outlook. All right. Now, it's important. It is so important that we watch how we interact with people. It is so important to us. Matter of fact, Jesus put a lot of stock in interaction. Put a lot of stock between the general body or edification of each other or discipleship, which is one-on-one, or evangelism, which is as far out as you can reach. Jesus put a lot of thought and put a lot of work and put a lot of effort in explaining how we are to treat people, how we are to act when we are spat upon, how we are to act when things are not necessarily going our way. He goes to it and he tells us, I want you to be enthusiastic. I want you to be different than everybody else. I want you to be on a higher level, on a higher standard. I want you to be doing something different than everybody else is doing. You know, my mama, her favorite saying, I say, but mama, everybody's doing it. She said, if everybody was jumping off the top of the house, would you jump off the top of the house? And I go, yeah. And he said, everybody's jumping off a cliff. Would you jump off a cliff? Well, that all depends on how high it is, mom. I'd get smart with her. You know, but still, she was saying is, you don't have to do it because everybody's doing it. And what I've discovered is, people don't notice you when you're doing what everybody else is doing. They don't notice the church when we're doing the same thing everybody else is doing. They notice people that are different. They notice things that are different. If you want to stand out, then be different. But be different in a good way. Amen? In a good way. So now, the church is actually a spiritual team. It's called the body of Christ. We were designated by Christ to actually carry His message into this world. But in order for us to effectively do His work, we need to have an enthusiastic outlook. I tried another experiment. Subway. And when I went into Subway, I just started telling them how good a job they'd done and how they were just, I mean, how I just couldn't wait to get in there and taste their subs because their subs are always so good and they just did it right. By the time I got it home, I couldn't even close it. I thought about that thing and I said, this is so awesome. So I reached in the car and got some Ever Christian Church pins. I come back and passed Ever Christian Church pins out at Subway. I said, y'all were so awesome, and I passed it out to them. Then I went somewhere else and just said, I like some chili, please. And I barely had enough to taste. People respond to you, especially if you're enthusiastic. I just talked with somebody this week. Somebody in my family this week. They actually got very upset because the phone company did not do what they said they were going to do. And I walked in the house about the time they were giving them the gospel, but it wasn't God's gospel. And I told that person, I said, do you realize you just shut down all opportunity for communication with that person because that person has shut you down? They said, you just got to know how to talk to people. I said, you used to, too. You used to did. I said, but this is not how you talk to people. I said, if you'll go in there and be polite and be enthusiastic, watch what will happen. The next day, they were polite and enthusiastic and the phone was fixed. It's important in the world how we talk to people as with our business. But it's even more important in this world how we give God's message out to people. When we go into the prison, we go in there upbeat and cutting up. I cut up the whole time. I cut up and carry on until I find out I don't need to. When I find out that somebody's got a very bad problem, I'll stop and I'll talk with that person. But everywhere else I go, I cut up and I carry on. And now the guys, now when I go in there, you know, I always tell the guys, you're looking good. You're looking good. Did anybody tell you you look good in orange? Now when I walk on the block, they'll go, whatever shirt I'm wearing. If I'm wearing a green shirt, I'll come in and go, you're looking good. Anybody tell you look good in the green shirt? Because you're being enthusiastic. It's important that we show the world that we are enthusiastic about serving God. How many saw the Pope come in Washington, D.C. this week? I didn't get a chance to watch a whole lot of it because I was on the road all the time, but I did listen last night, and as I was listening last night to the commentators on Fox News talking about the Pope, as I'm riding down the road, the commentators were actually crying, talking about how sweet he was and the message that he had, and on and on and on and on and on, and said they had never heard anything like this. And I listened to the words a little bit, and I said, well, you ought to try to come to church on Sunday. That's what I was thinking in my head. But again, the world is looking for something different. And the Pope, I personally believe that he's going to wind up being either he is going to be the false prophet or he is going to be the leader, the runner-up to the false prophet. Reason is because the Catholic Church is going to have a big to-do with the mixing of religions between Catholicism and Muslim. And all you got to do to mix those two religions, it said that the Antichrist is going to have two horns, and what it's going to be are two crowns. It's going to be two different religions. It's going to be Muslim and Christianity. And the way they're going to mix it together is one day a pope's going to rise up and say, we no longer have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And once you say that, Muslims and Christianity can come together. And you can have a one world religion. Or you can say it's optional. If they say it's optional, again, there's a one world religion. But let's get back to this. So now, enthusiasm. What made him stick out so much was he was enthusiastic. He even stopped to go on an airplane. He stopped as he was getting off the airplane, stopped the Pope mobile, and he got out and he saw a young man with cerebral palsy, and he got out and he actually got out and walked toward him and kissed him on the head. They had the family on Fox News this morning, asking them how they feel about that. And they said, well, we've not even got a chance to process it. He wasn't healed. Nothing happened. The Pope kissed him on the head, and they fly him into Fox News to ask him what they think. Again, it's something different, and it's something enthusiastic. If we want to make a difference in this place, we got to be enthusiastic about what's going on. So enthusiasm, watch this. Just in case you didn't know, enthusiasm, the word enthusiasm is made up of entheos-asm. Entheos means in God. How about that? Enthusiasm means inspired by God. Wow. So the next time you hear somebody say, well, everybody enthusiastic, you say, yeah, that means they're inspired by God. Isn't that cool? And so we're to be enthusiastic, right? Your heart is the source of energy for the body. Now that's where God's inspiration and anointing begins. This is where it all starts to take place. And every battle you face is won or lost on the inside long before it was lost on the outside. If you believe you can, you can. If you believe you can't, you can't. Amen? You got to go ahead and have it. You got to be ready for it. So I'm just going to hit a few points on this, and then we're going to pray. Here's enthusiasm. I'll break down enthusiasm for just a moment, okay? Just going to break it down. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, 24. This is going to be our first little point here. Psalm 18, 24. Remember, people are looking for something different. They are looking for something that's not the same old, same old. And when they find people that are enthusiastic about what they're doing, guess what? It is no longer the same old, same old. People get inspired when they see how enthusiastic you are. Psalm 118, 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Did it say this is the day Monday, Tuesday, every second Thursday, the third Monday from February? This is the day. This is the day. Now is the time. Now. And we're going to talk about that next Sunday morning. Now is the time. He that observeth the clouds will not sow. He that watches the weather, he's not going to reap. Now is the time. You don't have to wait for everything to be right. Know that now is the time. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has brought about. We will rejoice and be glad in it. How long has it been when you're having a bad day not realizing if you would just stop for a minute and start rejoicing that things will change? This morning in service, I felt it. I felt the drag. And so I said, everybody, please raise your hands and start worshiping God. And you know, when everybody started raising their hands and worshiping God, that corporate praise, the drag began to let go and begin to feel better. Did anybody notice you started feeling better after we stopped and we just stopped and praised Him? It's amazing. It's amazing. That song says it's amazing what praising can do. So watch this. Get ready. I'm getting ready to say something that might upset your attitude, but I'm going to talk about attitude. Get ready. If you're taking notes, please write this down. Do not point fingers. Do not tap anybody on the shoulder. Enthusiastic people accept. How many want to be enthusiastic? Enthusiastic people accept the burden for their own attitude. I'm not looking to you for my attitude. I'm not looking to behind me for my attitude. I'm not looking around me. I accept the burden. I say, this is the day which the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad. Didn't say if I felt like it. Nowhere does it say if you feel like it. It says this is the day. When I'm feeling good, this is the day. When I'm feeling bad, this is the day. Remember me telling you that when I got sick, there was one day I literally thought that I was going to, I honestly said, if I'm going to find a day to die, this may be it. And I'm laying in the bed, and you know I don't lay in the bed. I mean, Linda says I'm up and I'm gone before she even knows what's going on. And I'm laying in the bed for hours, and I remember that one time I was feeling so bad, my temperature went to 104, and I said, "Oh, if today is the day, Lord, if you want to take me, fine." And the Lord said, "Dude, get up." And I said, "I don't feel like it, Lord." He said, "Well, how about just show up?" And so I raised my hands and started praising God. As I raised my hands and started praising God, oh, my fever stayed there. My fever didn't go away. That sickness didn't go away. I honestly didn't even feel any better on the outside. But as I began to praise God, a peace came all over me. And I laid my eyes back down and said, today, I'm not going to die today. This is a good day. Because this is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in it. I'm not going to have the mully grubs. I'm not going to walk around worried to death about everything. I'm going to trust Him, because He told me everything's going to be okay. So now, here it is. Get ready. If you got something, some of y'all are going to say, that you getting us all prepared for this? Well, okay. That'll be good if you say that. Your attitude. Somebody say my attitude. No, don't point to me. I mean your own self. My attitude. My attitude is a choice. Get ready. Say this now. My attitude is my choice. Say it. My attitude is my choice. Now get ready, we got one more thing to say. My attitude is my choice alone to make. Say it. My attitude is mine alone to make. My spouse can't help me. My children, they're not responsible for my attitude. My boss is not responsible for my attitude. I am responsible for my attitude. And listen here now. If you're always waiting for the external to spark you, you're always going to be at the mercy of the external. God give us something that don't matter what the outside looks like. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in a hot, fiery furnace, 7 times hotter than it was before. And the king throws them in, expecting them to die immediately. And when he hears them in there shouting and singing. And as they're shouting and singing, he looks in and he sees not only 3, he sees 4. And the 4th is like the Son of God. So look, these guys, although the outward circumstances were awful, they were still singing. Think about it. 7 times hotter. It killed the soldiers that threw them in. It was so hot. The man was so mad at him that he allowed his own people to die just to get to them. And then when he goes in, they're running around singing and praising God. Let me ask you a question. You may feel like you're in a furnace today. Can you just put that hand up and say, next time you feel the flames, just say, praise God, you're an awesome God. I know the 4th man is here, and I'm going to be all right. You see what I like about that story? Y'all have heard this story many, many times. That's right. How many times you heard that story about the fiery furnace? Millions of times. Guess what? Remember, 3 went in, and 3 came out. Where's the 4th man? He's still there, so when you're in it, come on now. He's still there, so when you're in it, you can have some enthusiasm and you can stand up and praise God and say, I know my God is with me. I know my God can do it. Hey, y'all remember that song? I know my God can do it. Through Him, there's nothing to it. I know He'll see you through with sweet victory. Even when storms are raging, He is the rock of ages. I know that He is able. Mighty is He. Oh, hallelujah! Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah! Yeah. Go ahead, sister. Sometimes people are conditioned. They condition themselves. They've conditioned themselves. That's right. That's right. Well, it'll get better. You watch. It's. That's right. But here's what you do, sister. If you keep doing it. Yes, sir.
I was raised in that church. That's how the Lord told me to mount up over time. The brother told me to stand up and sit down and let the Bible keep flooding. I came to this church, Sister Tiny said,
oh, yes, Sister Tiny.
She taught me how
to pray. Oh, yes, she could teach you. All the way to her dying breath, she could teach you. Well, you see, that's what I was going to say is, I want you to take that lesson, what you just said, Sister Tiny, they saw her. If people see you, one little boy said, Mama, and she kept talking, Mama kept going, shh, shh, shh. And so he finally said, Mama, why have I got to be quiet in church? She said, because people are sleeping. Shh. Listen, if people see you in church, When you see me sitting down and somebody else preaching, do you see me going, what do you see me doing? I'm praising God. You hear me shout. You hear me say amen. You see me put something in there. Because you know what? I know that just like bad stuff is contagious, good stuff is contagious. And you know, I've seen people that they didn't shout or do anything, but when they got in the pew with me, they either shouted or moved. That's right. So it's okay. Just keep on doing it because somebody will follow. Somebody will say, you know, it's okay. I think I'll do it too. Amen. So remember now, if you expect the external to spark you, you will constantly be at the turn of the external. Okay? It causes you to run hot. It causes you to run cold depending on your circumstances. But you know something? The external is not what gives me hope. The external is not what gets to me. The external is not what gets in my heart. The external is not what gets to my soul. It is God that gets to me. And when God and His Spirit begins to run in me, it's a very powerful thing. Amen? When you start realizing that God, that powerful God that holds the whole world in His hands, He's in your heart. Wow, it's an awesome, awesome thought. Here's a good question. Think about this now, and it's a good question to think about after what you just asked. How can some people sit still? Here you go, like this. Is my enthusiasm based on circumstances, or is my enthusiasm based on my relationship with God? Which one is it? And you ain't got the answer. I hope all of you will say it's based on your relationship with God. But you know what? It's a very powerful, powerful thing. So number one, know this. You are responsible for your own attitude. This is the day. That word day means moment, duration that the Lord has made. That word made means to create, to bring forth, to set a specific time. He has made, made to bring forth fruit, and I will rejoice. That word rejoice means to spin around under the influence of a violent emotion. Wow. David wrote this thing. David was excited. David danced before the Lord. He went when he brought the ark back in. He was dancing in a linen ephod. He was not out there showing his kingly robes. His wife got mad. And you want to tell you something? His wife got mad because she said, "Look at you. You're a shame and a disgrace. You're out there in that linen ephod, and you weren't wearing your kingly robes." And he says, "Why? I was bringing in the king." And the Bible says his wife was barren for the rest of her life. You want to be barren? Be quiet. You want to see fruit? Be enthusiastic. Amen? And that word glad means to be gleeful, to be merry, to be merry-hearted. So watch this. Here we go. First, we need to bear the burden for our own attitude. Don't blame it on somebody else. Don't give somebody else in Mighty Army. You know, matter of fact, this Mighty Army this morning was for this morning's sermon. How many saw Mighty Army this morning? You know what it said? Y'all thought it was all comical. It said, "Don't squat with your spurs on." Well, that was comical. But spurs were made to cause you to get where you were going quickly. It was caused to keep you in action. They're there to stop the inaction. You keep moving. And so you have no business squatting with your spurs on because you're busy. That's right. That's right. And so again, don't squat with your spurs on. Man, listen, if you stop in the middle of the stream and you drown, it's your fault. So here we go. Get ready. Enthusiastic people first, they have a burden for their own attitude. Number two, they move beyond their present feeling. They move beyond their present feelings. Somebody asked me one day, "How in the world could I preach funerals?" I'm sure, Brother Keith, they've asked you that many times, and anybody else that's preached funerals in here, they say, "How in the world can you preach a funeral to somebody that you love dearly, and you might have even been in there when they died? How do you do that? How do you minister to somebody when you're hurting so bad with them that you don't even know how to even talk? How do you do it?" And it's something the Lord taught me a long time ago, and that is in Him. Learn to move beyond your feelings. If you don't, tell him, Brother Keith, if you don't, you're sunk. I got it there before and could hardly talk. And I had to stop and I had to get a hold of myself. And I said, "Hold on, Lord, help me. It's got to be me and you and mainly you, Lord." All right? So now, Turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. How do I walk or move beyond my feelings, my present feelings? How do I minister to somebody beyond my present feelings? Whether it be sadness, whether it be excitement, or whether you want to kill somebody that's in front of you, you got to talk to them and tell them about the Lord. There's been times guys have been in front of me, not just at Pit Detention. There's been times all through the years. There's been guys that I actually, if I had my rathers, I'd have rather had a hammer. If I had a hammer, I'd hammer him in the head. But you know what? The Lord taught me, move beyond your feelings. Here it is. Here it is. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. For we walk by what? One more time. For we walk by? Not by? So we walk by faith, not sight. By sight, what's talking about? Senses. I walk by faith, not by what I'm feeling. I walk by faith, not by what I'm sensing. I walk by faith, not by what I'm thinking. I walk by faith. I like this verse. For we walk by faith, we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. With trust and holy fervor, thus we walk, not by sight or by appearance. People that are going to be enthusiastic learn to move beyond their present feelings. That word walk means to tread and to follow. So I'm following God and I'm treading on my problems. I'm following God and I'm treading on those feelings. I'm walking with God, I'm following Him, and I'm treading on those heartaches. I'm walking with God. There's the secret. And I walk by faith, confidence, persuasion, conviction. I'm word-based. Not by sight, emotion-based. Listen to this. If you walk by faith, you're word-based. If you walk by sight, you're emotion-based. And if you're emotion-based, you will find out that you're going to be on the roller coaster ride of your life. You can't go by emotions. You've got to go by the Word. And watch this. You can't win if you don't begin. You say, well, I blew it yesterday. Okay. What about today? You can't win if you don't begin. You've got to go on and try. The next time you get in these circumstances, push beyond them. Push beyond your feelings, your emotions. And how do you do it? You let the Word move in you. You think about the Word. You talk about the Word. You let the Word go through you. And as you begin to talk the Word, versus, I can't do this. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to be able to handle this. Instead of saying that, say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I know that my God is able. When you start talking like that, amazing things happen. Number three, I'm getting close. Number three, turn to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. This is speaking of the Messiah. But it's also talking about us. If you're going to be enthusiastic, here it is. You got to believe in what you do. If you're going to be enthusiastic, you got to believe in it. It's hard to be enthusiastic if you don't feel like it's not worth your time. You got to believe. When we're going out and start telling people about Jesus, you got to believe. Next time we did good this time when we had the music in the park. When next month when we have the outdoor theater out here, we're playing God's Not Dead or whatever it is and throwing up on the wall. You got to take an opportunity to see people. If they come up to get popcorn or whatever it is we're going to do, when we see people, we got to be able to talk to them, be enthusiastic, and believe in what we're doing. Because they sense it. They sense it strong. They can tell if we really mean it. They can tell if we really care. Listen, O owls, unto me, and hearken, ye people, from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. And he said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Okay, it's got a past, present, or a past. When you read scripture, you look at it in three ways. You can look at it actually in the prophetic sense. It was talking about Israel, but it also in the present sense was talking about Jesus. But now with us, it's talking about us. So watch this. Watch this now. Look at somebody and tell them God's got a purpose for you. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you, don't raise your hand. I just want you to think about it. Do you believe truly that God has a purpose for you? I can't convince you any otherwise. God's got a purpose for you. It may not be what you want to do, but he's got a purpose. I can't listen. That's right. His purpose for you. Nobody should be able to talk you out of knowing that God has a purpose for you. Now, get ready. I'm going to tell you there's a purpose I know directly. I know without a shadow of a doubt. Here's one of the purposes God has for every last one of us. Get ready. To make a positive and productive difference in others through Christ. Every last one of us have that same charge to make a positive and productive difference through people for Christ. Now, we're going to talk about this verse here for a minute, then we're going to pray. I want you to see this now. It's speaking about Israel. It's also speaking about Jesus. But also speaking about us and the church. Watch this. First thing, called from the womb. Designation. Who else was called from the womb in the Bible? Okay, who else? Okay. Y'all are doing good. Y'all doing real good. Samuel, guess who else was called from the womb? Jesus. All right, let's go a little extra biblical right now. Who else was called from the womb? All of us. All of us. Jesus knew us before he created us. He knew us. And he already had a purpose for us. That's why you may understand, well, I don't know why I was born into this family. Or I don't know why I was born on this side of town. I don't know why I was born in this country. I don't know why I was born to these parents. I don't know why I had it hard coming up when somebody else had it easier. I don't know why I had it easy when somebody else had it hard. God has a divine purpose for every last one of us. And in order to fulfill that purpose, and if he called you from the womb, then he already put you in the womb that you belonged in. Woo! Did y'all get that? If he called you from the womb, then he put you in the womb that you belonged in. So you already knew who your parents were going to be. He already knew what you were going to go through, so that when you became able to be the purpose you were supposed to be, you'd already be equipped because you'd been through certain things that other people hadn't been through. Amen? When I go to prison and talk to those guys, I can't tell them what it's about being incarcerated. I can't tell them that. I don't know. I have no idea. I'll tell them, I get talking with them and say, I know it's got to be terrible in there. And they say, you will never know. You don't know what it's like to be locked up and have no hope. And I said, buddy, you ever been married? I'm playing. Y'all don't tell them that. I do pick with those guys. I do tell them that. They'll go, well, they're in the second pit. You're texting her now. I do tell those guys, I go, do you know what it's like to be locked up and have no hope? And I say, have you ever been married? And then they'll get laughing. And then all of a sudden, then we can go ahead and get back into what we're talking about. But When you've gone through something, no matter how bad it is, you can relate to people like nobody else can. Amen? And so whatever you've gone through, just remember, God has a purpose for you. He called you. I love it. I can't say it enough. He called you from the womb, so He put you in the womb that He wanted you in, so when He called you, purpose, then you'd be in the right place at the right time. Don't you think about Joseph. Joseph finally told the dream to the baker and the butler. The baker died. The butler goes back to the king, and he saw Pharaoh and says, make sure you tell him about me. He says, I won't forget you. And he forgot him for 2 whole years. You know what brought him up? Is when the king had a dream and needed somebody to interpret it. And then the butler goes, oh yeah, I remember that guy. If he'd have been out 2 years earlier out of prison, he would not have been where he needed to be when Pharaoh needed him. So you're thinking, why am I still in prison? My friends got unlocked. I'm still locked up in my little prison. And you're not realizing that God says, I got you there for a reason. I'm going to take care of you. Jeremiah last week, Jeremiah was in prison while the city was under attack. So he was actually being protected in prison in a cistern while the city's under attack. Isn't that awesome? God was taking care of him, and he didn't even know it. All right, number 2. Verse 2 says, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me and made me a polished shaft. And in his quiver hath he hid me. First, designation. Secondly, preparation. He gifted every last one of us with a specific purpose. He's already give you the gifts you need. Sometimes we don't realize the gifts that He's given us. Or sometimes we despise the gifts He's given us. Or sometimes we never even try to reach out and realize the gifts He's given us. But when you think about the gifts He's given us, He's given those gifts to you so that you can be used by God for your purpose. You say, well, I wish I could do this like somebody else. You know what? I guarantee you, when they watch you, they're saying the same thing. I sure wish I could sing like so-and-so. And look over here and say, I wish I could preach like him. I wish I could play the piano like him. Or I wish I could play the guitar like them. God knew you before you were born, so He put you in the womb that you needed to be in. Number one. Number two, He gave you the gifts that you were going to need to accomplish what He wanted you to do. Number three. He says, I have, in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me. Number three, he protected you. Thank you, Lord. Preservation. There you go. I started to say perseverance. Preservation. He, we were protected supernaturally by God. God. Think of all the, you can't even know the times that the car was coming right at you and God swerved him out of the way. You don't even know the times that something was going to happen and God moved you out of the way just in time. Think about the times you're saying, why am I stuck at this stoplight? This thing is forever today. And there's a wreck down the road and you missed it. One of my favorites is I was over in the Edenton area preaching one night, and I got out and I told you, some of y'all heard the story. I needed a battery for my car. The battery was $40, and they'd give me $40. I said, well, praise God, there's the money for my battery. And so I'm going away, go home, and go get me a battery on the way home. And the preacher looked at me and said, I want you to do me a favor. I said, what? He says, there's a steakhouse down the road. I want you to stop at that steakhouse. That one. And I want you to sit down with your family and I want you to have a nice steak. And I said, bruh, I'm in a hurry. I didn't want to tell him I needed the money for a battery. I didn't want to tell him that. He goes, listen to me. I need you to go to that steakhouse and I want you to get you a steak and I want you to sit there with your family and I want you to enjoy that steak. I said, yes, sir. I got in my car, found that steakhouse. We sat down and we ate, and it was really good. But there went my battery money. And then I got riding down the road, and I started smelling pine. I said, where's all this pine coming from? And I looked on the road and I saw where a tornado had come through and tore up that place right by that road. And I don't know, because I was at the steakhouse, but it was a good chance that if I hadn't been eating that steak, I wouldn't have needed that money for the battery, because the car wouldn't have been around, because that place was tore all up. God was taking care. He knows how to take care of us. All right, I'm almost through. Almost. Also, that's right. Oh, I got home fine because I didn't get. No, I just had to get. I had to wait until the next week to get that battery. But God worked it out, because I don't remember having to get any jumps. All right. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. He's given me a divine mission. He's made me like a polished shaft. He's given me a mouth like a sharp sword. He's hid me for the right time. And when I come out, I'm going to be straight as an arrow, and I'm going to hit the target, because God has a destination, a divine mission for every last one of us. And finally, verse 3, and he said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. We're ordained to reflect God's glory. Presentation. Tonight at 10 o'clock, there's going to be a full lunar eclipse of the moon. And we're going to see part of it, but the Midwest is going to see it all. But you know what? That moon's bright. It's awesome bright. But you know how a lunar eclipse takes place? What happens? So if the earth comes between the sun and the moon gets dark, then what does that tell me? The moon has no light of its own. It's got to reflect. Now, get ready. In our own lives, when the world gets between us and God, we don't shine very bright. When we get those attitudes, when we get fear, we don't operate in faith. We're trying to play it safe. We're trying to just sit back and, you know, hope that God comes up with a plan B, because you ain't got one. You ain't planning on using plan A. And we get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, because God's trying to shine, but the world keeps getting in the way. We are to reflect His glory. Reflect Him. And when we reflect Him and be enthusiastic. I remember yesterday I was in a hurry, and I was trying to hurry up because I had to go to Grifton to a PCDC meeting. And I made a stop at the Dollar General. A dollar store, because I was picking up some stuff for the meeting. And I was in a hurry, and it took forever for the line to get down. And honestly, I wanted to tell the girl, here's what I wanted to do. Watch this. Come on, I got to go. Hey, y'all move out of the way. I need to go. But instead, I sat back and said, Lord, I know what you're doing. This is a test. And I'm going to pass this test. I got that girl, and she was checking me out, and she was barely moving. She looked like one of those Santa Clauses in the window at Belt Tyler's. It goes all night long, and it goes like this. It goes. And she said, how are you doing? And I said, I know this is a test, Lord. No. I said, this is a test, Lord. I know it. And so I stood up, and she said, look like this too. How are you doing? Kind of like on Winnie the Pooh. Wilbur. And I went, watch this. Here's what I did. I said, I am doing awesome. And she picked right up. I said, if I was doing any better, I couldn't stand it. She said, woo, that's awesome. And she said, what you getting this stuff for? I said, I'm getting ready to go play a bunch of tricks on some ministers. I'm going to have me a good time tonight. I'm going to have them all over that place in this thing. And she said, really? I said, yeah, I can't wait to go play some tricks on these guys. We're going to have us some fun tonight. I said, and God's going to get glory and all things are going to happen. She said, woo, come on now. And then she said, I want to go with you. And I said, well, there's two ways you can, to myself then, there's two ways you can do it. You can either go in the back door and I can visit you, or you can go in there and set up, fill out an application going with me. But when I walked out, she was going, she was praising God and she was having a good time. She went from that, oh, no. Yeah. You have the power through God if you're enthusiastic. Power through God. If you're enthusiastic, you have the power to change situations. If you can be enthusiastic, watch what'll happen. It was funny. This isn't funny. I was with a person at the hospital yesterday, and their family hadn't had anything to eat, so I took the family to go get something to eat, and I'm at Kentucky Fried Chicken. And we're getting a Kentucky Fried Chicken. I was doing that same thing. I can't, if I was doing any better, blah, blah, blah. And she going, that's right, come on now. And then she said, watch this, it was funny. I said, you didn't charge me enough. I said, there's three adult buffets. She says, I see. I only gave two buffets. And she kept hitting the cash register, kept hitting the cash register. She says, well, the Lord has blessed you today with two. And I said, glory. And about that time, the cash register went ding, ding, and threw that third one up. I looked at her and said, well, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And she had, oh, and it was really funny. And the guy there was really sad because his dad was sick. And the lady had, her hair was all kinds of colors. I can't tell you all because I don't know them all. But she had them out everywhere. And they were hanging all out of her hat. And they were all different. I bet there was 20 colors. And I looked over at her and while she was checking me out. And I said, you know what you look like? She says, what? I says, it looks like you ate a pack of Skittles and they came out the wrong end. And she said, that is so funny. I said, ain't it? Of course, it helped the guy that was with me. He kind of got a little laugh when he went back to his Sunday. Yeah. God is awesome. All right, let's all pray. Let's just pray right at our seat. Y'all ready? Father, you're an enthusiastic God. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. Lord, we thank you, God, that you have showed us, Lord, if we can show people enthusiasm, that something special will happen. Help us, God, Lord, to radiate your glory. Help us to know, God, that we were called from the womb. And even knowing that we were called from the womb, that you decided the womb that we were going to be in. We are not a mistake. We're not a happenstance. We're not a second thought to you. Lord, you put us in the womb that we needed to be in to accomplish our purpose. Number two, I thank you, God, because you've gifted us with resources and you have protected us supernaturally and you've given us a divine mission and you have ordained us to reflect your light. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, help us to reach to you and to know that everything's going to be all right. And Lord, our church is going to grow, that we're going to grow. Something special is happening around us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, 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 and amen. Amen.